And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in our brand new study by the title, Commentaries on the Quran. Let me first of all acknowledge where this material is coming to you. It is not from my mind, even though what I'm going to be sharing with you is from my heart, but this is actually a translation to an old book. Sadly, the book I will be using to share with you in our study, we do not know when it was written and where it was written or who wrote it. But it is a book written to the servant of the Lord, and it can be used to help us to know some of the truths about Islam, not for the purpose of attacking the Muslims, but actually for the purpose to share the truth of the Word of God with them, to declare to them the truth about Jesus Christ, that we may give an answer for the hope which is in us. And that is exactly what is written in the introductory of that book. It is an excellent book, believe it or not, because we do not have freedom in Egypt like we do have here in America. If I was caught with this book in Egypt before I came to America, most likely I would have been put in some prison simply because I will be sharing from that book facts and truths which will set many of the Muslim people free. And the Muslim propaganda of Egypt will not allow freedom or allow somebody like me to use this material in that book to lead Muslims to Christ. This book is over 200 pages. And as I said, once again, it is written in the Arabic language. And I'll do my best to share with you many of the truths which is written in this book with you. Here is what we will be covering in this study. What is the true revelation? The witness of the Quran to the truthfulness of the Holy Bible. Is there any miraculous material in the Quran? The difference of the readings of the Qurans. How the Quran was gathered. The doctrine of abrogation in the Quran. The Quran and the seven letters. Comments on the Hadith, that is the sayings of Muhammad. Notes on the revelation in the Quran and the Hadith. And finally, errors in the Quran. So for today, let us begin our study by looking at what is the true revelation. Muslims or skeptics of Christianity will say there is no way to the people of the book, the Christians and the Jews, to claim that the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, was inspired and all the conditions which were written in it are inspired. There are 10 important facts about the Bible which I would love to share with you to answer our skeptics and our dear Muslim friends. First of all, we know that all the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. That is what God said in His book, the Bible. And that is what we read, for example, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verses 16 and 17, where there the Holy Spirit wrote to us, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And in verse 17, we read that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Which reminds me of a conversation I had with an atheist lady on one of my trips on an aeroplane who just happened to be sitting next to me. As I struck up a conversation with her, and she found out that I am a Christian and I am a minister and I teach about Islam, and she come with a conclusion that the Bible is just a book written by some ignorant men for ignorant people, and she did not really have any need to read the Bible. As we continue to talk, I found from her that she actually read the Bible years ago. She said maybe 40 years or so. The lady is only like 50 years old, And somehow she remembered reading the Bible when she was 8 or 9 years old. And she gave me some objections to the Bible. She said, it is only a small book. How can that book cover all the things in the life of man? Especially when we know that the Bible is an old book. First of all, I'd like to talk to you a little bit about that old book theory. Do you know that the truth is the truth? It doesn't matter how old it is. I remember a few years ago when I met with my dear brother, Lee Hutchinson, who has been a great help for me in many of my projects, especially translating the Quran. And he took me to his office and he showed me an old wooden ruler, which actually was used by his grandpa to build the university dome in Cape Girardeau, Missouri. And he made me to hold that stick of woods where you open them together. They are locked to each other. And then he opened a brand new tape measure. And he literally opened the same amount of inches, which is 60 inches. And he looked at number 60 on both of the old wooden ruler and the new tape measure. And he said, do you realize, Usama, what we hold in our hands? And I said, yes. He said, that is the truth. 60 inches on the old wooden ruler is equal exactly to the 60 inches on a brand new tape measure. By the way, the new one was made in China. So that is concerning the truth. It doesn't matter how old the truth is, because the truth is the truth. An old tape measure, couple hundred years old, or even couple thousand years old, has the same measurement of the new tape measure. That is because this is the true nature of truth. Truth does not change by age. How about the size of the Bible? Do you really believe that the Bible is not a big enough book to hold the truth for us, which by it will have all the satisfaction which God meant it for us to have? I remember looking at that lady and I told her, you mean if the Bible is a little bit bigger, twice as much or maybe 3 times, will this make it a more important book? She did not give an answer. But then I read to her these 2 verses which we just read in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verses 16 and 17. And here is the truth once again. The Bible is given by inspiration of God. The Bible is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. If we just live with the book of the 66 books, Old Testament and New Testament, we'll be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. What else do we need? I think that's plenty enough for me and for you. It's not because you have read the Bible once in your life when you were not even a believer in it. That means you really tried it and you know everything about it. No, maybe as I advised that lady on the aeroplane, I'll advise you once again. Maybe it's time for you to read the Bible once again and give God's word a second chance to change your life, to make you of what God wanted each and every one of us to be. Now let me share with you another important verse in the scripture from which we know that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And that is what is written in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21. And there we read, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So now we see from the testimony written here in the New Testament that the entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the evidence of that when we study the Bible, we see that there are many prophecies were written. Most of them were completely fulfilled. Now, the testimony of the historians who do not have any agenda, if they were atheists or others, proves that most of these prophecies has been fulfilled. And that is the greatest evidence that the entire Bible is revealed from God, the wise, the knower of all things, past, present, and future, because nothing is hidden from him in the heavens or on earth. Not anything small or big, because everything by him and to him was made. And that is exactly what we read in the book of Romans, chapter 11 and verse 36. As the scripture states, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." And that God, the God of the Bible, knows all the secrets of the hearts, as it is written in Psalms 44 and verse 21. For there we read, "Would not God search this out? For he knows the secrets of the heart." The second important fact I would love to share with you is that all the scripture was supported by amazing miracles, which means that the source of the scripture was the one who has the power of everything that moves, God himself. Moses split the Red Sea and made the rod a living snake, and his hand turned white as leprosy without any harm. He struck the Egyptians, my own people, with 10 plagues. Christ healed the sick and he raised the dead, and likewise his disciples. So no one can say that all those people who performed great miracles in the name of the God of the Bible were just some people without power, but they were sent with great prophecies, and the prophecies of their writings was proven by their great actions and the miracles which they performed in their life. The third important fact, that the revelations of the Bible were sent on righteous people. And here we must emphasize, I'm not talking about righteous means they have their own self-righteousness, but the righteousness of God was on them. There is not one perfect, the Bible said, not even one. But if you want to compare any of those who wrote the books of the Bible, those are the men whom God inspired to write his words to us, and compare any of them to, for example, such a man whom the Muslims honor and respect, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, Muhammad, you will see a huge difference. Even in the weakest point of the life of some of those who wrote the scripture, when they committed the same sins which Muhammad, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, committed, you will see there is huge difference. Yes, Muhammad committed adultery. And yes, David committed adultery. But the huge differences between David, when he committed adultery with Bathsheba, and Muhammad, who committed adultery with Mary, the Coptic woman, is that in the Bible, God rebuked David for his sin, and David repented of his sin. But in the Quran, Allah encouraged Muhammad to continue with his relationship with Mary, the Coptic woman, even when Muhammad gave an oath that he will not touch her. Somehow Allah freed him from that oath and allow him to be involved with her. Also in the Bible, God punished David for such sin. But in the Quran, Allah rewarded Muhammad that he may continue to live in the same sin. So the life of the men who wrote to us the scripture was not perfect, but they became perfect through the righteousness of God. And that is when God did not allow them to continue to live in sin, as it was in the case of Muhammad and Allah. The fourth important fact I would love to share with you about the scripture, the Holy Bible, Old and New Testament, that no one was ever held onto it unless it brought happiness and joy to his life. Even in this world, the foolish one became wise. And because of the effect of the Word of God on their life, it actually removed from them their foolishness and their lostness. The Word of God changed the people's lives from being savage to being civilized, from being humiliated to being lifted up. As for the fifth fact about the Word of God, that it does not have in it anything that goes against the sound mind and the upright taste. As for the sixth fact, why the Bible is a true word of God and it is inspired, because it includes important facts that cannot be reached by mere light of nature or human mind, no matter how intelligent the human mind may be. And here is the seventh fact of why the Word of God, the Bible, is true inspiration. That because its teaching is pure and its commands are holy. As for the eighth fact, that there are consistency of all the teaching of the Bible. That is Old Testament and New Testament. We do not have any contradictions in the teachings of the Bible. As for the nine facts, why the Bible is the inspired Word of God, that it appropriately fits our conditions. As for the tenth and the last fact, I would like to share with you to prove that the Bible is a perfect Word of God, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit of God, that in the Bible we see clarification for the way of salvation and the power to awaken the conscience and alert it to its state. There is no wonder in this, for God is the one who sees the minds of the truthful prophets with his Holy Spirit in what they said and wrote, and were infallible from slipping, errors, and forgetfulness in divine communication. So it was him who spoke on their tongues and hands them with impressive miracles to prove their claims to be the prophets of God. Now, my friends, if you compare these 10 facts about the truth of the Word of God with that which is written in the Quran, you will see simply the opposite. There is no internal evidence in the Quran from which Muslims can claim that the Quran is the Word of God. There was not any miracles by Muhammad or anyone else of his companions who performed from which we can say that the Quran is the Word or the revelation of God. Muhammad was not a righteous man, as we mentioned earlier, but he lived in sin, and Allah approved of his living in sin without any correction or any repentance on Muhammad's part. When Muslims follow the teaching of the Quran, that will not bring any happiness or joy for their life. But the opposite is true for many of those who became Muslims, became ungodly savages. After they were civilized, it doesn't matter if they were Americans, Europeans, Australians, Canadians. Whenever people convert to Islam, they become savage like Muhammad was. Many of the writings of the Quran goes against the sound mind and the normal taste for life. There is no facts we read in the Quran, but the opposite is true. Many of the teaching of the Quran goes against the true nature and the true science. The teaching of the Quran is not pure, and there is no holiness in its commands. There are many contradictions between the passages of the Quran, not only in the commands, but even concerning the history of the past. The Quran does not fit with our nature. And finally, there is no salvation in Islam. Even for Muhammad himself, the self-proclaimed prophet of Islam, he did not know if he would make it to paradise or not. The only assurance we have in the Quran is that all Muslims, when they die, they will make it to hell. As for assurance of salvation, you can only find out about it if you believe the final pillar of Islam, that is, for Muslims to die for the sake of Allah, and then they will find themselves in paradise. When in reality, when Muslims do such a thing, according to the true word of God, the Bible, they will spend eternity in hell. And to continue our study of commentaries on the Quran, please join us again for the next broadcast. And until then, may the true God of the Bible continue to bless you and yours.